And Smashville, good morning, and thank you for joining us. It is Morning Drive, fourth and final hour here on this Friday, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Nick Cale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason, and the Constable Chase McCabe with you. The Big Finish is coming up at 9:45, but right now we welcome in Lindsey Rally, Predators host for Fox Sports Tennessee. Lindsey, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
Doing excellent.
Doing very
good.
Doing very well, and obviously we'll talk a little Preds here with you, Lindsey. But but I'd like to thank you for hanging out with us on Soup Sunday, of course, on Sunday.
Yeah.
So first of all, thank you for that, and sort of getting involved in the cause. We are greatly appreciative of your effort and your time on Sunday.
Oh, of course. Honestly, I'm really looking forward to it. Of course, as you said, this is my first one. I really don't know what to expect, but I love food, and so I think it's going to be exciting as far as that goes. But also, on a more serious note, I'm really excited because of the cause in general. That, you know, the idea to fight against the idea of sexually abused children, and I think it's just so important that this light is shining. Our kids do such a good job. You know, I don't know if you people have seen their website, but their website I think is really cool because it breaks it down so simply. If God forbid you have ever been affected by that kind of a situation, and if you get on it, it makes it very, very simple to help you and point you in the right direction as far as getting help for people who have unfortunately had that issue in their family. So I think it's a super important cause, and I'm really happy to be supporting it.
So I can give you a quick rundown of what's to be expected. If you guys want tickets out there, ourkidscenter.com is the website. And as Lindsey said, you can find out all the information you need to know about the issue itself and what Our Kids does. Tickets are $25. The event on Sunday starts at about 11 o'clock, runs for a couple of hours. And you're going to get 50 of the best soups in Nashville from all the greatest chefs in the city. So don't eat anything, Lindsey, in the morning. Just come with a major appetite because you will be full by the end of it.
That's what I'm expecting. You had mentioned that to me before, and I was like, oh my gosh, okay. And again, like even you saying that now, like some of the best soups in Nashville, it's like, oh, okay, sign me up. Let's go.
And the number, you said how prevalent it is. Real quickly before we get into the Preds, I do want to sort of stress this. You know, 1 in 4 girls will be experience this sort of abuse before they turn 18. 1 in 7 boys will experience this sort of abuse before they turn 18. Those are staggering numbers if you think about your friend groups or your families or your neighborhoods or your communities or your schools. And you look around and you look at a table of 4 women and you say one of these 4 girls is going to experience something like this in the first 18 years of their life. It's really awful, and we are the only people that can really help. And I saw personally, Lindsey, you and Hal and Nash are going to be there. A lot of Pred stuff out there. So, again, ourkidscenter.com is the website. Please check it out there. There may still be some tickets available. It will sell out. Great, great, great cause on Sunday, Soup Sunday. So, once again, thank you. And I'll hand it over to Nick, who has like a hockey question, like a boring hockey question for you.
Yes, let's get back to boring sports, Lindsey. So, I know you do a lot of hits around the country. I believe you make appearances occasionally on NHL Network. What are the national questions that you're getting about the Preds as we get closer to the deadline and the playoffs? What has been like the simple crutch question that everybody asks you about the Preds?
Well, you know, there's a few. If we're being completely honest, I get asked about the power play almost every single time, just because it has struggled. But last night's Preds tallied a power play goal, a big one at that, because it was Kyle Turris, and that's a huge goal for him to get him going. So that's definitely one of the topics that's always there. And, you know, a lot of it recently has just because the Preds have had a tough stretch prior to the last two games. I haven't done any of the NHL Network. I think it's been about a week. So when the Preds were going through that lull, it was a lot of, you know, what's it going to take to get back on top? And then, of course, like you said, with the trade deadline nearing, a lot of it is, hey, is David Poile going to make another move? And if he does, what do you think it's going to be? And things like that. So to be honest, David Poile does not consult me, which is super weird. But I'm not completely sure. But, you know, it's tough to answer those questions because David Poile obviously knows what he's doing. I mean, look at the success he's had, being the winningest GM in history. So I always say, you know, I trust whatever he does, whether, you know, some people, whatever he does, you know, there's not everyone's always going to 100% agree with every decision he makes. But clearly that man knows what he's doing better than any of all of us.
Lindsay, we had your partner Terry Crisp on about 45 minutes ago. I want to ask you this. We were talking about the move that Peter Laviolette made last night, moving Victor Arvidsson down to the second line. What was your takeaway from that? Obviously, it resulted in a win. Kyle Turris got a jump start. But what did you make of seeing a guy like Arvidsson bump down to the second line?
Honestly, well, first of all, I was a little surprised to see it. I think we all were. But, you know, whatever's going to work, and I think part of that right now is Coach Laviolette probably trying to spark, like you said, Kyle Turris, because he has so much potential, and he is such a gifted player. And you know, I think he in particular hasn't been as happy with the production he's had since he's come back from his injury. And so I think part of it was that, just that simply, that Coach Laviolette wants to get him going and maybe see a different look, and also maybe give Kevin Fiala a little bit of an opportunity, because that's another guy I could say the exact same thing I said about Kyle Turris, is he is such a skilled player, and I don't think we've seen his complete potential just yet. So I think that was part of it too. Why not put Fiala up with the best and see what he's capable of doing when he's in that situation? He did have some great chances. I would have loved to see him put one in the back of the net, but unfortunately, he wasn't able to make that happen, but I did think he was noticeable on the ice. So I think it was very interesting. I'll be really interested to see if Coach sticks with it tomorrow, to see if he keeps Victor Arvidsson down there or puts Jofa back together, because we all know that Jofa line is one of the most lethal lines in the NHL. So I can't imagine that Coach will keep it like that forever. Maybe he was just trying it out to see if, like you said, it could jumpstart some different guys. But I did think it was very interesting. And, I mean, Coach is one of those people who he'll change the lines whether the team's winning or losing. He's not afraid to change them. So, again, I think we're all going to be a little bit interested to see what the lineup comes out tomorrow.
Have you seen enough in these last two games, and let's say they continue with how they're playing against the Avalanche and against Edmonton, have you seen enough to suggest that this could be where they start to kick it into gear, or is it – Are you still seeing things that you're concerned about as far as maintaining success over the next couple of weeks?
You know, it's funny because I think Chris Mason actually put it best. We had this topic. We were talking about it on our show. I think it was two games ago. You know, of course, it's concerning in the way that all these guys want to win every game. They're so competitive. And you know, as fans and as reporters and you know, broadcasters, and we want to see them win every game. However, it's a long season. So what doesn't concern me is that being in that room, to me, there's no feel of panic. You don't see panic on the guys' faces. You don't hear it in their voices. Of course, they're disappointed when they lose a game because they want to win every game. And they know this is the final stretch. They know they got to be ready for playoffs. So in the way of putting in each game individually, when there's a loss, yes, it's concerning. But the overall big picture of the long stretch and the capability that this team has to make a run at the cup, no, I'm not concerned.
Lindsay, great stuff. We appreciate the time. Thank you so much for popping on this morning.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a good day.
You got it. Lindsay Rally, Fox Sports Tennessee, and of course, we'll be a part of the Soup Sunday.
Yep, Hal Gill, Nash, the Energy team, Lindsay Rally, all going to be a part of Soup Sunday coming up this weekend, 11 a.m. Nissan Stadium. Tickets available. OurKidsCenter.com is the website. All the money goes to benefit sexually abused children of Middle Tennessee. We cover 47 counties in the Middle Tennessee area. Almost 1,000 kids a year come through that clinic and are taken care of. So I can't really think of anything more important to our community than our children. So it's a great cause. And I'll just be very honest. I've been to a lot of charity events. There are a lot of great ones out there. This is as cool an experience you will have. You hang around. You get to eat so much soup. It's all the great chefs cooking all their craziest, coolest ideas. It's a phenomenal time. And come on out. Tickets are very affordable, and it's for a great cause. Soup Sunday, OurKidsCenter.com is the website. All the Preds will be out there, all those all those folks that we've mentioned. So come on out, guys.
Wait,
seriously.
Saturday?
Yeah, it's Taco Saturday.
I'm messing with you.
Sandwich Saturday.
That was great yesterday.
Derek's running his own charity, Sandwich Saturday, where that'll benefit his Jordan's collection.
My Jordan 1 collection. So come on out.
Those retro 11s?
Plates are $20 a piece.
Give the former NFL All-Pro athlete money so he can buy more Jordans.
Exactly.
On Sandwich Saturday at West Haven in Franklin.
Hey, those patent leather Carolina Blue retro 11s?
I like
them.
No,
those are legit. Those are legit. Mm-hmm. But you know what?
I got to get them.
Go buy them, son.
Coming up next, the biggest voice in college football has a Predators take. That's next on Morning Drive. All right, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Boy, I miss that song. A little college football ESPN theme.
Already? You miss it already? Oh, it's only been, what, a month? 2 months?
I never really get over it.
Well, guess what? Spring practice starts.
Is coming around. And like they're going to show it on television.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see a lot of
Pro days are coming up.
Athlon Sports magazines are coming out in like 3 months.
Are you
so
guys
you get
in
your fix, buddy?
We've already
We started in December.
Yeah?
We started in December collecting all the data, the starters, returning starters.
So when did you guys finally assembled the book when you finally put it together?
I mean, it's a four-month process. It takes a long time. And we sit down and make our official predictions because there's so much other things in the magazine that aren't predictions, like coordinator carousel, you know, reevaluating the coaches that were hired last year. There's so much – there's lots of features, right, where we do long-form interviews with players or coaches or whatever. But the actual predictions where we sit down in a room and there's four of us saying who's going to win the SEC East, who's going to win the Big Ten East, and we actually make those picks – We wait till we get everything in, so we collect all of the stories, all of our information, all of our scouting reports, all of our, you know, anonymous coaches' tips and everything, and then we make the predictions probably mid-April.
What was the
– And then it's out the door like a week later.
What was the pick that you guys made? And I know you were on the – I think it was Florida. Were you on Florida?
I was on the Florida bandwagon.
Yeah, Florida bandwagon last year. But what
– We had Florida too.
Did you guys make collectively – that either was like, man, at the end of the season, like, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Either good or bad.
We actually,
like,
so,
together, not separately.
Right. I don't mean to, like, I'm not trying to be arrogant here, but we.
No.
3 years in a row, we have been the most accurate preseason college football ranking out there, both published or otherwise. And so we are actually graded on that by a third-party organization that grades every magazine, every
preseason prediction. So you beat Phil Steele?
Dude, don't bring that guy's name. Don't get that guy's name out your mouth.
You beat Streets and Smiths?
That's not a magazine anymore.
I used to read it back in the day.
We put them out of business is what we did.
Some beef.
Not to be arrogant.
Some publication beef here.
And actually, I know Phil Steele pretty well. He's a nice guy. He does all the work himself, and we use writers that cover the teams. We use writers. We talk to coaches anonymously. We just do a lot more prep work. We have a much larger staff, and we
are Alabama.
We put out a much. I mean, listen. He uses the font that's on the Mellow Mushroom pizza, you know, menu. We use real editing. Anyway, now I'm talking trash about Phil Steele. I like the guy.
I sense a little print wars coming.
Exactly.
We are the most accurate, and we had Ohio State. We had Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, winning the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. We had them playing Wisconsin, so we got Northwestern wrong. We had Clemson winning the ACC over Virginia Tech, so we got Virginia Tech wrong. We had Alabama and Georgia both making it to the SEC championship game. Mm-hmm. We had that right. We had Texas and Oklahoma. We were ahead of everybody on that one. We had Texas and Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game with Oklahoma winning. Uh-huh. And we had Washington over, I think it was USC maybe. So we missed on USC, but we got every conference champion right. And so we feel pretty good about what we deliver to people every single year. So we also whiffed on a bunch of stuff. Like I personally like Utah a lot in the South, but we didn't get Utah in the magazine. Northwestern and Pittsburgh both surprised everybody, and nobody saw Northwestern and Pittsburgh coming, and we missed on both of those. So we're wrong all the time. We're right all the time. We just want to try to give you guys the best guess, just like we do on this show every day. We're just trying to give you the best content we can. We're going to be wrong a lot, and we're going to be right a lot. It's just sometimes opinions change. Sometimes we get things right. Sometimes we get things wrong. But in the moment, you better believe what Derek's saying is what he believes, and what Nick's saying is what you believe, and what I'm saying. Chase, every now and then I don't believe you, but sometimes I'm just playing.
Chase,
dude.
We love you.
Chase is over there editing the big finish, and then all of a sudden his head just snaps. He's like, what do you say about
me? He's been talking trash to me all week, so you deserve it.
Yeah, when's the Chase McCabe show, by the way?
9 a.m. tomorrow.
Gotcha.
Again, I want to know what you said in that first hour, because the last show, what you said in that first hour was great. Second hour, first hour was
that 9:30 segment, epic.
I'd like to – one of the best teases of your career, though, Nick, at the end of the last segment, which was like an hour ago.
Yes. So I said the most preeminent voice in college football has a Predators take. So I saw this just an hour ago. Kirk Herbstreit tweeted out – He said, and he tweets at the Nashville airport. He says, hey, at fly underscore Nashville, I really enjoy your airport, and I look forward to the expansion finishing in a couple of years. In the meantime, I propose a new rule. When the Predators are playing live, like last night, I vote that all TVs in the airport are tuned into their game, not some random NBA game. That is a violation on the Nashville airport.
Was it
You're
LeBron?
Right. You're right. You're absolutely right. It should be.
First of all, why is Herbie flying commercial? Doesn't he have his own plane or something?
Yeah, it's the off season.
Okay, that's fair. I don't think that's a problem. I think if you're an out of towner, like many people at the airport are, and you're waiting for your flight or you're in a layover and you want to grab a beverage and watch a different sport, I think you have the right to ask the TV to be changed. But I think there needs to be at least one television in every bar that has the Predators game on.
Well, at least one, because they at every gate. Just about every gate, they have at least one or two televisions that you can see. So if that is indeed the case, then one of those televisions, if the Preds or the Titans are playing, it needs to be. One of those televisions need to be on that, on the home team. Now, what people do at the bars there, typically they do have, like if the Preds are playing, they do have the Pred game on. But then they have on other sports too, so. Herbie, you just need to find a television with the Preds on.
And in this airport, I don't think they've added TVs at the gates. We're such a small airport that that's not normal at our airport. Yeah. But the bars are like you can get to like the Tootsie's that's like or whatever. Yeah. It's literally like across from the Southwest gates or whatever. That's like the only one I know. I don't know the other concourses or what are they called? Concourses.
There's a good Mexican restaurant in there.
I gotta tell you that the Nashville airport is very
so easy to get in and out.
Yeah, very very accessible. Very comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go to something like Philadelphia or any of the New York airports.
LaGuardia is a dump. But they've redid portions of LaGuardia, and it looks nice. I think my daughter ended up sending some pictures of portions of it that they have fixed. But for the longest, man,
flying in New York, man,
it was like, okay, you got to get your luggage, then you got to walk out, then you got to catch a bus to somewhere else just to get a cab. But it was just
so
horrendous.
My brother lives right there sort of in the area, so it's easy for me. And it's actually very cheap to fly into LaGuardia, but it's been cheap because it's such a bad experience.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I've flown in there a couple times.
Oh, they're going
to
upgrade
It's supposed to be better, but flying to like Long Island.
I usually fly into Newark. If I'm flying by myself.
But then you got to be in New Jersey.
But it's
where's JFK? Is that Manhattan?
No, that's Washington, D.C., right?
No, JFK is New York.
It's LaGuardia.
They're
and
all disasters.
LaGuardia is in Queens by Shea Stadium or City Field and Arthur Ashe State Court or whatever.
Gotcha.
It's right out there in the Queens.
I think they're redoing JFK too.
JFK is far more expensive.
I've noticed on social media recently, and I want to know why this has become a thing. You guys may or may not have the answer, but like on Instagram or Snapchat, or I've even seen it on Twitter, whenever anyone goes to the Nashville airport, they tag at B&A carpet, and they take a picture of the carpet. Like, I don't get it.
Dumbest
they need
thing.
No, it's new carpet, and it's very nice, so I don't know what it is.
Why do you tag the carpet? Don't send me a picture. I don't post a picture of carpet.
Derek, people can post whatever they want.
No, they
can't. Have you seen the internet?
Well, what if it was hardwood flooring?
They can't post. Well, if you had just
redid
your hardwood flooring. What if it was linoleum?
If you had just redid your hardwood flooring, then okay, you can post it.
Don't be a flooring snob.
Do you realize that it's the – dude, you can't stop –
I know
the internet,
I can't stop it, but I don't have to look at it.
So don't. Then
I don't want to.
You've already spent too much time wasting.
I don't want to see carpet at B&A. I've been to B&A before.
So there's a B&A carpet Twitter account?
I guess. There's something.
That's funny.
Stop
I just
it.
See it posted all the time.
Stop
that's
it.
Funny.
Take a picture of the stall or something. I don't know.
So you'd rather see bathroom stalls on the internet
than
carpet?
They've upgraded
the
stalls. Yeah, then show it to
Give
me.
Give me a break.
I was watching a movie last night, and the exit sign was at the bottom instead of being at the top. I was like, I've never seen that before.
Wait. The exit sign for what?
The exit sign for the door, like exit leaving out. It was at the bottom.
How can anybody see it?
I know.
If you're looking for an exit,
that's what I was
saying. And you got a bunch of people in front of you, how do you find the exit?
The exit sign was at the bottom or near the baseboard instead of at the top.
That's ridiculous.
That was
that's
just dumb. Yeah.
I saw, so there's a show on Stars called Counterpart, and it's based in Germany. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that all the elevators that people get on that show, all the elevator buttons are in like a row at the handrail level. So like when you walk into the elevator, like you know
that's
how you have, you know there's like handrails a lot of times in elevators? it was like a horizontal line of buttons for all the floors. That were
That's
that
weird.
It looked like a control panel, right? And it kind of looked cool because you walk in and you go like three to your side instead of like.
But what if it's all the way on the other side and someone's standing over there?
Well, you know, in the show, it's fiction. There's only one person in the elevator.
Oh, yeah,
you're
right.
But I just thought, it's one of those weird things that culturally is just, maybe it's just in Germany. That's where they put all the buttons for the elevators.
Yeah,
I don't know.
All right, coming up in just about 20 minutes, the big finish. But up next, a topic of discussion that is very near and dear to Derek Mason's heart. Have we reached a point where there is not universal acceptance that LeBron is the best player in the league? I think it's gaining steam. Back after this. This is the NBA on NBC as the Knicks take on the Rockets in Game 6.
For three, yes!
Of the 1994 NBA Finals.
Oh, don't bring that up.
Marv Albert along with Bill Walton and Steve Snapper Jones.
We have the Bad Boys of Detroit.
That's
facing
better.
The Los Angeles Lakers, Showtime, and Magic Johnson. Who's going to win this matchup? Stay tuned.
Ewing with the rebound. Yep.
Do you guys like the Fox?
New York loses again.
Hey, I'm going to come off this table. I will come over this table with you, son.
Do you like that Fox has bought the rights to this song and is using it for college basketball?
The first time I heard it, I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
But it's great.
John Tesh.
Yep. Oh, this is for NBA. You can't use this for college
John
basketball.
Tesh wrote that song. The great John Tesh.
D-Mace, I think if you polled 100 of the most dialed-in basketball minds at this very juncture, it would not be universal that LeBron James is now the greatest player in the league anymore. Do you agree?
I don't think he's the greatest player in the world anymore. I think age is catching up with LeBron. I think at this point, you would have to look at someone like Anthony Davis, who's, I think, is the best player in the NBA right now. If you're talking about all around player, I think Anthony Davis. I like Giannis, but Giannis doesn't have a good outside jump shot. But because he's 6'11", can run the floor, plays really good defense. He does have a mid-range shot, but, you know, the NBA is all about three-pointers and dunks. And he plays one-on-one basketball about as good as anybody in the NBA. So if I'm starting my team, I'm starting with either AD or Giannis or Kyrie Irving.
Tell me if you agree with this. I put down four guys that I would take over LeBron right now.
Okay.
Anthony Davis, Giannis, Kawhi, and Joel Embiid.
I'm not taking Kawhi. I'm still taking LeBron, even though I think Kawhi Leonard is a awesome player. He's probably one of the best two-way players, meaning offense and defense, you have in the NBA. And see, I like Joel Embiid.
That's concern there, though. A lot
of
injury risk.
Injuries. And you have to be a team.
Yeah,
you have to be a team that's willing to dump the ball down to Joel, even though he has a okay three-point shot for a big man. It's just something, starting with a true big like Joel Embiid is. He is a true big. Even though he can come out and shoot that 12-footer, 15-footer, and the three-pointer, but he is a true big.
Now, I would never take Embiid over Davis, but I think Embiid is as good away from the basket as Anthony Davis is.
Ooh. Davis is a little bit
more. Or at
more,
least as comfortable.
He's got better. Davis has better handles, I think. So for a big guy, he's got one of the best smoothest jump shots and ability to handle the basketball in the open floor. I don't think Embiid's got that, but Embiid's great. It's about Embiid's injuries. He's had injuries at Kansas. He was injured for the Sixers. I think it's more about injury concern for me. I would take Davis and Giannis, and that'd probably be it. I can't get on the Kyrie thing because he's a special player. I'm not denying that, but a 6'1" guard.
I'm taking Durant over Kevin Durant. I would
take Kevin Durant.
I'm taking Kevin Durant over LBJ.
I would take Giannis, Durant, and AD to start. And I'm sure.
And what do all three of those guys have in common? They're all 6'11".
And they can shoot.
Other than Giannis, he's okay, but he's not great.
But he's a freak.
Yeah.
Are we omitting Westbrook and Harden?
I think Westbrook's overrated, but that's just me.
Me too.
I think Harden.
And don't try selling me on triple doubles. That's irrelevant. Just,
no, that's hard to do in that league.
But what does it mean?
This would be the third season in a row if he finishes with a triple double.
What has Russell Westbrook accomplished?
Third season in a row.
What has his teams ever accomplished?
They came on the brink of, you know, winning. Well, I guess they were in a championship game, but they never.
But that
really
was with
had.
Durant and yeah. Harden before they.
And guess what happened?
But it's
they
just
choked.
Like, but it's just like any other all-star guy. They need other guys alongside with them, and having, you know, one all-star, which he Paul George. George is one of those guys, and I've heard this said about Paul George. He's just good enough that no one really says anything about him, like he's trash.
He's a true Robin to a Batman.
Yeah, he's just good enough to not be called like that third tier player. He's not the first tier player, even though I like.
You're not
I
building
like
a franchise.
Him. Yeah,
around
exactly.
Him.
Right. He's a
but he's a great number two. Or
yeah,
three.
He's the number two yeah. to a great player,
which is what Russell Westbrook is. I mean,
yeah, but
great
I think
player.
Russell is. They need it. He's kind of like any other superstar, I think, but he's not the caliber of a LeBron. There's only one LeBron. Because even Kevin Durant, he can't win with just another superstar. See, LeBron can win with just he and another
with
superstar.
Garbage. Well, with garbage.
Or with garbage, yeah. These other guys can't do it.
The furthest Russell Westbrook's team has ever gone is the Final Four when he was the backup point guard Darren Collison at UCLA.
No, they went to the NBA championship. And they lost to.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did.
Golden State. The or
no,
Golden
I'm talking
State.
About
no.
Russell Westbrook.
They lost.
No, they lost.
Yeah.
City lost in the Western Conference Finals.
No, they lost to the Heat.
They lost to the Heat. Yeah, in the championship.
Yeah.
That was Russell Westbrook. 2011. Durant.
Am I just totally
yeah,
whiffing on that year.
Yeah,
because LeBron,
that, yeah.
LeBron lost to Dirk,
and
then
he
came
back
and beat OKC.
Yeah, OKC.
Yeah.
But the back to the actual question, I would take like four guys.
Where were you that year?
Where were you? He was knee deep.
I was watching AJ McCarron play
yards
football.
Per
what are you
play.
Talking about?
I was
knee deep
putting
in yards
together
per
the
play.
Number one magazine.
no, but I think there are five guys that at least I would take. Now it's not diminishing who LeBron is and what he's still capable of doing. We saw last night they were down 19 points and LeBron just went crazy and they came back and beat Houston. But Houston to me is a front runner. Whatever. But I think there are four guys legitimately that I think. That are better at this point of time that I would take before I take LeBron.
Let me ask you this. Continuing with the LeBron conversation, if the Lakers miss the playoffs, mm-hmm. Now granted, LeBron's been injured a lot, young team, although they got some talent, is that going to be an incredibly bad look that you came to the Western Conference and everybody was like, wait a minute, you're leaving the East where you have a pretty simple path to get to the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. You might not beat Golden State, but you've been going to the NBA Finals for 8 years in a row. You go west where the road to the finals is more difficult, and you don't even make the playoffs. Is that a bad look?
Yeah, it is, because you are brought there. This team, they're a good team. They're a young team, but they are a good team. And they have guys that could potentially be superstars. I like Lonzo Ball. Regardless of what anybody else says about Lonzo Ball, I like him as
Kuzma,
a player.
Ingram.
Kuzma is an all-star guy. I mean, they have guys on their team that can flat-out play. And if, you know, you got a guy on there that's won two championships in Rondo. If you, I think one. It might have been one. But
yeah, Boston.
If you don't at least go to the playoffs, I think it is an indictment on you, LeBron, because LeBron is supposed to be the guy that no matter who he plays against, who he plays with, he can take them to the playoffs. I'm not saying win a championship, but he can take them to the playoffs. And if he doesn't take this team to the playoffs, I think it would be a true indictment on, you know, well, has LeBron lost it just a little bit? Because we've seen in years past where he's taking trash Cleveland teams.
And, I don't think and, it doesn't change his place in history.
No, it doesn't. No, not at all.
It does. So there's a couple things. One, I think the dysfunction with which the organization has been run since he got there.
And a lot of it's his fault.
Some of it's his fault. Some of it's not. But, like, the fact that they weren't signing anybody in the preseason or in the offseason, the fact that they've had this whole trade deadline thing and all the drama, like, the whole thing has been this massive dysfunctional family, and a lot of it's on him for that aspect.
Uh-huh.
The other thing you could say though, is if he's playing with, like, this roster is probably better than a couple of those Cleveland rosters.
Oh yeah.
And what we could say is, did he get to some of those finals because he was in the East, right?
Yeah.
If he had that same Cleveland roster, right, in his prime, but mm-hmm. he was in the West, would he have gotten to those eight straight finals? And I think the argument against him, you could make that case. I'm not taking anything away from him because, like you said, Nick, his place in history is secure. Mm. But if you were to say, hey, take that exact Cleveland roster that made it to the finals that year and put him in the West, do they get out of the West? And the answer is probably no a couple of different times mm-hmm. where he doesn't get to the finals, or even one of the Heat roster. I don't know. But there's probably a couple of times where he took a team to the finals that probably would not have gotten there in the Western Conference, and he's going to get credit for that, where maybe if he was in the West, he doesn't get credit for that. And again, we're nitpicking here, one of the greatest of all time. So I think the point is, of this discussion is LeBron is no longer the best player in the world.
No, he's not.
And if that's the case, that's a new thing.
But he's still top five player in the world.
Yeah, I would agree.
But he's not the best player. I think Kevin Durant or Giannis, but I would say Kevin Durant is the best player.
But it also stems about, you know, it stems around how you're going to phrase the question. Uh-huh. If it, is it for one season, then LeBron is certainly higher up on the list. Mm-hmm. Am I building a franchise around him? Then he's lower.
Yeah,
on
I'm
the
not
list.
Building a franchise around LeBron at this stage of his career, well, especially.
That's the conversation of like, do you want to draft Andrew Luck, Baker Mayfield, or Tom Brady with if you had to restart the league right now? Well, Tom Brady's the greatest of all time, but no one's taking him number one because you get 2 years out of him at the most.
Yeah.
So that's what you're looking at there.
All right, coming up next, it is the Big Finish here on Morning Drive. That is correct. It is time for the Big Finish. We do it every day at 9:45 here on Morning Drive. We give you the Morning Drive Daily Rewind. We give you what we learned today on the show. And we give you what is on tap for tonight, or, of course, on a Friday, what's on tap for the weekend. So, Constable, let's get to the Morning Drive Daily Rewind. And Smashville, good morning, and thank you for joining us. It is Morning Drive, off and running here on this Friday, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Like, I think we are all.
But apparently, Pred's Facebook is worse.
I don't even want to mention.
Oh
Facebook.
Yeah, don't you? Don't even want.
I don't even want to mention.
You don't want anywhere near that pool.
I don't want to know all the things my grandmother's upset about today.
That pool hasn't had chlorine in it in years.
Yes, that's exactly. It's like the kiddie pool of social media. You're right. It's the kids.
I like that.
It's the kids' pool of social media. You know what else is in that water?
We love fans. Oh, we love the fans. We love them, but they don't know Jack. Like, what's going like?
Pay what you owe.
I still don't know what that means.
I just think I would rather go with one that makes me look like I'm contemplating the meaning of life, and I look really important and serious, and it's black and white, versus one that makes me look like a sexual assaulter. This one's a little.
That's a little much.
This one's a little creepy, dude. It looks like you're sort of. Who are you talking to in this picture? Is it Craig Smith?
Peter Laviolette.
Peter Laviolette. So it looks like you want to slip something in Peter's drink here. Is what it looks like.
Wow.
I'm just saying. It looks a little.
I need to watch myself around Chase.
Chase is a really nice guy. He likes everybody. This is just it's a little creepy. I like your. I'm just saying. We all have our own opinions. I like your last picture a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where she's like, excuse me, sir. We're gonna need a different car. And like, what she's really saying is, this Joker is an idiot. And they know, they can do it without ever coming off as like sounding angry or anything. And they can just. A 5.7-liter Hemi engine Dodge Ram massive monstrosity. It is a beautiful truck. It is a wonderful truck. I don't know, unless you are a construction person in the world of construction or someone who hauls large farm animals, I do not know why any human being would ever need a truck that size. I do not understand it.
Yeah.
I've
wondered that as well.
I can't get it in. The gas mileage is terrible. I can't get it into the parking garage at the Music City Center when I have to go to work. It's impossible to park in this parking lot because these little miniature parking spots over here, it takes up three of those. So I can't park over there.
Is it just a Southern thing?
I think it is.
I mean, I saw trucks like that in Philadelphia with people that didn't really work in construction.
No, but like the jacked up truck that's just,
right.
I'm trying to make up for something.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, are you trying to compensate for something else?
Possibly. I thought you got that truck because of the rain and you were going to pull the arc. That's what I thought you got the truck.
I'm telling you, I was driving down 40 today and I was going like 11 miles an hour.
I'm sure you were.
I was a little nervous driving down that road
that
again.
That Joker would pull the arc. That big thing.
That thing
got,
is huge.
Yeah. Kids with him, he would have went ballistic.
Car seats are getting tossed.
So
Philly Knicks show.
All right, so the Vols will try to win two in a row tomorrow. The Preds have won two in a row. Good vibes are a coming and contemplations are a flowing.
It's Friday. It's been a long week. The rain has tried to wreck your good vibes. Even though it's not going away, find your warm, happy place and push the clouds aside. You can be your own sunshine. Sunshine. You can be your own sunshine. Finish the week strong and have a fantastic weekend.
Namaste.
Be well. I don't like the shot that was taken at my week.
Okay, that was not a shot. As soon as you read it, I'm like, oh,
he said, the
no.
rain has tried to wreck your good vibes. I almost died 2 days ago, Chase.
No, I know.
Right?
Like,
I'm not very contemplative right now.
I am sorry. Actually, that was not meant to be anything.
Guys,
I am very contemplative. Guys. I've been contemplating my existence the last 2 days.
Guys.
No joke.
Namaste, okay?
Namaste.
What does that mean? What does namaste mean? Needs chill out.
Usa.
Seize the day.
Every time I hear
Usa. Are you finished?
With the contemplation?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, a long time ago. When I started screaming, that's when the contemplation ends.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Well, typically it ends with...
When my voice started screaming, I'm like...
It ends with be well.
Yeah, I said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, be well, yeah.
You got to tag it, though. Constable contemplation.
Oh, that's true. I did not tag it. This Constable Contemplation brought to you by...
I get a lot of coaching about tagging things
sales
on the show.
Did you hear that? Let's get the contemplation sponsored, all right?
Yeah.
Let's get that done.
Nick Cale, Braden Gall, and Derek Mason featuring the Constable brought to you by
insert sponsor. How about Woodhouse? Jeff? Woodhouse Day Spa.
Yeah.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Woodhouse Day Spa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Now you just say it. It just comes out.
I don't know if it rhymed, but I'm going to try to.
Okay. Do you realize building this up to this is not as mean automatic failure? Right?
Just wake it up in the morning, got to thank God. 102.5 is kind of hot.
All right. That was sweet. Okay.
That was sweet.
Something there.
Okay. Yeah, there's something there. Okay.
Let me ask you something, Krabby Pants.
No, I'm not being crabby.
Would you rather work with three talk hosts who have nothing to say or guys that have a lot to talk about?
No, I'm fine.
That's kind
with
of the point of the show, right? We fill content.
Philly's
a lot of programs out there that
you
don't fill
Philly
content.
Nick out. Why it's did
Philly
you
Nick
do that?
Would you rather work on a show with dead air?
No.
No, you work on a show with hot air, and that's Morning Drive.
Yeah.
No, that's Brayden.
Oh! Hey, number two, Chase.
It's kind of neat.
It's trying to be a phone and like an iPad mini all together in one.
Isn't that what iPhone is already?
Well, that big one is ridiculous.
It's the same thing. The iPad.
I'm the only one that does. Am I the only one who has a normal size phone out of the three
no,
of us?
We've got the normal iPhone, right?
No, yours is the
You got like the iPhone 3.
No, I've got a 6S. The Plus is the one that's way
oversized.
You have
oversized.
A Plus? Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you're the only one with a little one.
No, it's not little. It's a normal size phone.
No,
it fits
little
in my pocket.
It's little.
Braden's got the only little one.
I got
little
less. Phone. I got less room in my
Nick
pockets, guys. Just trying to say.
With the little phone.
Letting you know.
Jayon, what's it like to play football in a basketball powerhouse like UCLA? It's got to be weird. It's great.
Describe the colors at the Rose Bowl.
Is the grass not the greatest thing you've ever seen at the Rose Bowl?
This is terrible. Call me Chris Everett again.
The Rose Bowl or Augusta, your thoughts?
Titans O-line?
And that is the Morning Drive Daily Rewind.
Let me tell you something, Krabby Pants.
What the hell happens on this show? You don't realize either how terrible or how great it is until 9:45.
Well, don't they always say there's a fine line between insanity and genius, right?
Yeah, I think we walk it.
We walk it all the time.
Or
we're
in the insanity part most of the time.
We dabble in the other part.
There's flashes of genius, mostly insanity.
Oh, man, it's raining like crazy.
Oh, go figure, is it? So play the breaking news sounder. It's raining in Nashville.
It's raining.
That sounds like somebody died.
I was about to sing this. What is the song? It's rainy, man. I always thought it was rainy mad. I thought it said it's rainy mad.
Definitely not.
I know. Now I know.
It was
what
just definitely dudes. Yeah, just
exactly.
All the dudes.
Now I know what it says.
It's just dudes.
just dudes everywhere.
Pouring from the clouds.
It's a lot of dudes. Thought it was great. Some great dudes.
Steve Adazio at Boston Epic. College loves it.
Epic. Epic dudes.
We talk about dudes on the microphone. Sports, dudes, balls. That's what we do. Sports Talk Radio. I invented this industry. Got a lot of platforms.
Oh, boy.
Radio, Twitter, podcasts, print. Come at me. Let's get to what we learned today.
I was just going to see how long you were going to keep.
Oh, I can do a whole show as Jim Rome if you want me to. We'll do that in July when it's slow.
That was good.
I don't want to get yelled at.
I like that.
So what we learned today, I learned that a haiku is actually three lines.
Yes, I confused the sonnet, which is 14 lines, and the haiku, which is three lines. 575, I believe.
So it's the haiku, syllables. Three, sonnet. Did you say sonnet?
And a couplet is two lines, which is what you
exhibited. Yeah, I did a couplet.
You did a couplet.
Yeah, I did a couplet. So what I've learned today is that I'm good at doing couplets.
That's what you want to call him?
I'm a couplet guy. I'm a couplet guy. I'm great at couplets.
I bet you are.
All right, Chase, let's keep this show moving.
I learned something.
Oh, you did?
I think I learned something. Uh-huh. I believe, or I have learned that Braden Gall actually thinks I hate him, and I really don't.
I don't know.
No, I really don't.
Thanks, Nick.
What's the thing about this?
I am glad that you're okay. I'm glad you're here with us. And I poke fun because I care.
Doesn't always feel that way.
Let's get to On Tap tonight.
It hurts.
It's your guide for the happenings around town and what to watch from your couch. Here's What's On Tap Tonight, now on Morning Drive.
All right, boys, I will fast forward to tomorrow at 11 a.m. On ESPN.
After Chase McCabe's show.
Yeah, how about that?
You're leading in.
Chase McCabe from 9 to 11, 2 hours of radio bliss, and then the Vols and the Tigers in Death Valley or Baton Rouge.
4:30, right? Puck drop, Preds against the Avs. Kind of a weird time there. Kind of cool, though. I like that. It means I might actually be able to get the daughter out there. We'll see. Don't ever get to take her to games. So Preds, Avs, if they can get a three-game winning streak going, it could be the sign of things to come. So let's see what they can do on Saturday night. But, yeah, Vols, good day tomorrow for sports.
Yeah. If I can stay healthy, which means I'm still a little bit under the weather. But with that being said, college basketball, but I do want to see Golden State in Houston play this weekend, too.
Is that the Saturday night showcase or the Sunday?
I think that's Saturday night. Okay.
All right, that'll do it. We will talk to you on Monday, maybe, just maybe, reacting to some trades. How about that? We'll see you Monday at 6.
Do what you do, and when you do it dry and do it well. Bailey DJ Nashville, I love you. Bye, bye, bye.